welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. And here is your host, Ryan Mack.
Welcome to the Payments Journal podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Mack. And with the uncertainty of the ongoing economic impact from COVID-19, it is important for credit unions to keep their pulse on members' purchasing behavior and financial needs. So to help me discuss this, I have Norm Patrick, who is the Vice President of Advisors Plus at PSEU, and Glenn Fichette, who is the Senior Vice President of Advisors Plus at PSEU, and Pete Revel, who is the Director of the Primary Research Services at Mercator Advisor Group. Now, during this conversation, we're going to be taking a look at some of the consumer buying insights that is provided to us by PSEU. And in addition, we're going to be taking a look at how credit unions can help small businesses beyond just small business loans. So there's certainly a lot to unpack during this episode. So without any further delay, let's start the show. So Glenn, Norm, and Pete, thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. So before we get into it, I want to take a look at some of the data that was provided to us by PSEU, taking a look at card spend, credit, and debit over some merchant verticals here, and then we can kind of break down what this data insight means here. So overall credit card spend was down 29.9%, and overall debit card spend was down 18.1% year over year. And now, while grocery stores and supermarkets saw a substantial bump in the overall previous 2 weeks, the week of March 23rd returned a much lower growth rate of 24.9% for credit card and 10% for debit card, indicating that consumers were easing back to their stock-up purchases conducted during the early weeks of the COVID-19 panic. Now, well, drugstores slash pharmacies performed well over the prior 2 weeks. The week of March 23rd yielded much different results. Credit card spend at drugstores grew by only 0.7%, and debit card spend was actually down 7.5%. In the prior week, the growth rates were very much positive at 33% for credit and 27.4% respectively. And now at purchases at gas station pumps, have been in a sharp decline over the past weeks, with spend down 52.2% for credit cards and 40.1% for debit cards during the week of March 23rd. And lower gasoline prices at the pump, along with decreased transaction activity, likely driven by substantial increase in remote work and stay-at-home orders, contributed to those numbers significantly. And then finally, consumer goods have also begun a significant decline, with an 18.6% decrease on credit cards and a 17.7% decrease on debit cards for the week of March 23rd. So now, Norm, if we could start off with you, perhaps you could kind of break down and give us a little bit, maybe deeper insights to some of the data that I just described there.
Okay, absolutely. And as for some comments on our methodology, PSEU compares year-over-year transaction activity of its owner credit unions, and we do that on a same-store basis to identify impact on consumer spending and shopping trends. And to provide relevant updates on market performance, our internal teams within our Advisors Plus business unit, our data and analytics business unit, we release on a regular basis year-over-year weekly performance trends, and what we've gone through here is the snapshot for the 13th week of the year, the week of March 23rd, compared to the week of March 25th of last year. So it's a very similar year-over-year type of week. And as we anticipated, we really began to see more clearly the negative impacts of the pandemic on consumer spending. The year-over-year decreases, and taking a look back, we saw the week of March 16th as the week where people really began to stay at home and ultimately modifying their behavior. And I think, obviously, when you look at those merchant numbers, there's been some winners and losers, and a couple that I'll highlight here are really the first one being grocery stores and supermarkets. As our analysis indicated, there was a very significant bump in the early days of the crisis where people were essentially out stocking up or hoarding, if you will. And in the most recent data, we can see that's kind of eased back quite substantially. On the gas station front, I think there's kind of a double whammy that's happening there. in the fact that gas prices at the pump are actually down very much, given a significant increase in supply and some very decreased demand that is happening. Bottom line, you know, 52% decrease in credit card fuel purchases and 40% on the debit front. So I think, you know, we've seen a pretty solid beginning of downward pressure on spend, and I think this is going to continue to the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I think this is some really interesting data to look at. This is Pete Revel. I would be interested to know if the people are starting to transfer some of their behavior from credit to debit. I'm not sure the data may be able to tell us this, but there is some thinking that the outcome of the coronavirus pandemic is that behaviors are going to get changed. And one of those may be that people switch a tried and true typical method of payments to something that they may not have used before the COVID outbreak.
Yeah, and I will tell you that through some consumer research that we've conducted over the past 2 years, we refer to it as PSU's Eye on Payment Survey, we have seen a very much increased consumer preference for debit card. And this was obviously prior to the pandemic taking root here in our country as well as the world. And I think if you look at some of the transaction data that we're consuming at PSCU, we have seen, you know, some of these sharp increases happening on the debit card side of the house, in line with those results we've seen in those studies. But I will tell you, you know, as we've approached, you know, high unemployment claims that were filed, you know, we're looking at roughly 10 million claims that were filed over the past 2 weeks and, you know, really much more to come. We believe that there is a pretty good potential for a shift in spend from debit to credit, really to take advantage of those available credit lines in times where their liquidity is much shrunken due to their employment status. So that's something that we're keeping an eye on going forward. And as unemployment continues to take root, we'll keep an eye on that. And one thing it's worth mentioning as well are the stimulus payments that are coming, you know, that will provide some degree of injection of liquidity into people's checking accounts directly. Which may end up driving some, you know, incremental debit card spend and shift some of that back from credit. So it'll be a very interesting several months here to see how all that materializes.
That's a really great point. And, you know, I think that you're right. I think that we're going to see some people switch over to credit as the amount of money they have, the liquid assets they have tend to dry up because of, you know, whether it's layoffs, furloughs, you know, hours being cut, whatever. And then I think, you know, if I were to guess, I would also say that once the stimulus money gets into people's bank accounts, whenever that will be, we will see the debit use start to pick up some.
Yeah, I think that those are some fantastic points there. Now, Glenn, I'd like to take a look here, kind of the ripple effect of this spending behavior of consumers, obviously kind of on a little bit of a downward trend, kind of mentioned in the data previously there. So obviously the spending less from consumers obviously means that, you know, small businesses are going to start to kind of really feel a pinch from this. Now, in terms of just how credit unions can help, now clearly small business loans are great, kind of great starting point there. But what else can credit unions do to help these small businesses?
Yeah, Ryan, I think while many experts would quickly point out or react by telling you that only a small percentage of credit unions serve the commercial, small and medium-sized business market, I'd submit that much can be done by all. And it's interesting your use of the word pinch there. I think that's perhaps the understatement of the month. You know, it's important for credit unions to keep a pulse and remain close to their members, whether those members happen to be owners of small business or just consumers alike. Engaging with them through digital tools, surveying them regularly, and just leveraging payments thought leadership and consumer insights that lots of providers of service can make available would be prudent. PSEU being one of those providers of service. So I think about members wanting to support local during this this era we're all experiencing. And local typically translates into small business merchants. The credit union philosophy of people helping people, frankly, it's more prevalent and more important now than it ever has been. And that includes both individuals and small businesses. So credit unions have this unique opportunity right now to lead their members that are business owners through the small business program that has been established. The payroll protection program is available to business owners, providing, of course, the credit union is federally insured and registered with the SBA. So that's one offering in particular that's new and unique that some credit unions can partake in and tap into. Credit unions can provide small businesses with resources and information about all types of different aid programs and loans, for that matter, just independent loans outside of the one that I just referred to. I also think what's going to become important is this. As fewer people visit branches, there's an opportunity for credit unions to enhance their digital banking suite. Again, lots of different providers of service can step in to help here. But more than ever, consumers and members have a dependency on their credit union to find unique ways to interact, particularly if this has not been a channel that's been stressed by a credit union in the past. But what we saw pre-COVID-19 was this shift in consumer preference. Consumers were becoming even more apparent in the digital space, and consumers of all generations, frankly, were adopting online banking at a pace like never before. They were downloading payment apps on their mobile phones, and they changed the way, or began to change the way, is probably a better way to say that, how they wanted to interact with their financial institution. So for this reason, credit unions should really stress with small businesses that consumers are moving in this direction, and if they haven't jumped on board digitally, now is certainly a prudent time to do that. So if I can put a shameless plug in for PSEU's digital banking platform, it's known as Lumen Digital. And we do help this shift that's occurring in the market. So as a purely cloud-based digital banking platform, we have an opportunity to provide our clients with a tightly integrated solution that rivals, frankly, if I dare say so, the largest banks in the country. And that's something that we've made available for the last couple of years for our own clients.
Glenn, I wanted to touch on something that you said earlier, which I think earlier on in your discussion of this question, which I think is really important and a huge opportunity for credit unions. And that's an opportunity to strengthen their relationship with the small businesses and become a trusted advisor. Now more than ever, they need your help, or they need credit unions' help. And if credit unions can double down on the service they provide to their customers and the solutions they can provide to their customers and digital solutions, that includes your digital solutions, I think they can come out of this doing well. And I think this is an opportunity for credit unions to really burnish their brand.
Yeah, Pete, I agree with you. You know, there's been this reluctance for credit unions to jump in to the commercial space with both feet over the course of the past decade for sound reason. But now, if COVID-19 acts as a catalyst for credit unions to step up and serve the SMB market on behalf of their credit union membership, we think that's wise, and PSEU in particular is here to serve.
Yeah, I think particularly, you know, kind of just talking about the whole community aspect, I think America as a whole is a great example that when crises happen, that a lot of individuals and a lot of organizations really start to look local and kind of that best neighbor practices and always looking out for your neighbor and kind of extending that helping hand to the local people within that community. So hopefully kind of the blessing or a great thing that might come out of this pandemic is that we see more of that looking locally and acting locally, buying locally and supporting local small businesses across there. But now let's shift over to the consumer side of things if we could, Norm. So even though in-store commerce has slowed down, commerce itself obviously has not stopped, but really shifted online. So now is the time that credit unions need to reassure or make a bigger push to communicate with consumers about their fraud protection measures with online and things, you know, like what are some of the things that realistically that the consumer should be looking out for so that way then they don't get scammed? And then potentially how can credit unions help to inform their customers of things that they should be looking out for?
Yeah, that shift, you know, to, you know, digital access, online services, and ultimately card not present online spend. I mean, that's been a trend in play for quite some time. And I think our current situation is really tended to, you know, add a little more fuel to the fire on it during these uncertain and unprecedented times. I think from a consumer mindset, the fraud topic in itself, it's just as prevalent as ever. And I'll tell you from personal experience, the phishing attacks that I see come through my personal email box on a daily basis, they have really scaled up here. In particular, over the past month, I didn't realize I had all these accounts all over the country that I needed to reset my credentials on. It's quite astonishing. So with having this very high on the minds of credit unions and members alike, and you know, seeing an increase in fraud or at least fraud attempts that are happening. It's really important for, you know, credit unions and their technology and their fraud approach, and that also involved with their card processor. It's really important to employ different ways to keep members safe, not only through authentication, but biometrics, artificial intelligence, et cetera. And I'll give you a prime example, you know, right here at PSDU. Linked analysis is a service we call it. It's a proprietary approach that we have for intercepting and predicting fraud through a combined use of machine learning, anomaly analysis, bone printing technology, data analytics, and as well as our human intelligence. And they use a consortium of data, including phone calls, online banking logons, authorization data, really all of these different sources across different channels that we touch. And it has really, you know, helped us to do a much better job in identifying and intercepting malicious patterns of fraud. And it really gives credit unions to meet force with force when it comes to dealing with fraud. But I think at the end of the day, the credit union, there is an incumbent task upon them around educating their members. And I know a lot of credit unions out there have COVID-19 related resource pages that are out there giving instructions to members. And I think just very simply, by putting the information out there to reassure them that, you know, they are being taken care of when it comes to fraud mitigation type of strategy, but really to be on the lookout for those types of phishing attacks or even, you know, malicious phone calls, you know, looking to intercept those government assistance payments that will be coming in, and really just, you know, doing a much better job with the education and using that opportunity through the website and other means to do that. Very, very, very important for credit unions.
So Glenn, at PSCU, I know you must get a lot of questions from your clients on what do you see as working on being effective in the marketplace with regards to messaging, products, and security. So with that in mind, would a playbook, would you kind of break down or maybe give us a little bit of a playbook, if you will, or what are some of the most effective or efficient things that you're seeing in the marketplace that credit unions should consider doing?
Yeah, so Ryan, we do anticipate that specific offerings are not just temporary fixes in the present COVID-19 era, but rather have a high likelihood of surviving and thriving in the new normal world. This includes some of the digital banking solutions that have been discussed on this phone call, some of our fraud management tactics that we're making available as guidance and recommendations to our clients. But there are other tools too. So let me give you my opinion on just a few. Contactless. There's an opportunity for contactless cards, such as wearables and other devices, to see a high spike in usage. Members are continuing to shift away from cash and other payment methods that have a high degree of human contact. So there's a shift away from those devices more into a contactless methodology. Mobile payments, very similar to contactless cards. Mobile payments have an opportunity to meet members' needs and expectations. So as members are beginning to gravitate toward an acceptance of utilizing devices that they never had before, mobile payments is really going to be at the top of that list. So we do anticipate that contactless card adoption and the encouragement of mobile payment usage will lead to wallet adoption. And specifically, I'm referring to digital wallet adoption. Credit unions are constantly attempting to supplant perhaps a competing card and become top of wallet for their membership. And this is absolutely the time to do that, to find ways to provide rewards and incentive to their members to ensure that that credit union card becomes top of wallet and the one that's used most frequently, if not exclusively. So if I was to look at marrying together the use of mobile payments and contactless cards and NFC functionality, at the merchant site, I have to refer back to a question you asked me earlier as to how we can help small business merchants. The way to assist is to encourage those small business merchants that NFC technology is here to stay and consumers will have a preference in shopping this way going forward, even when physical in-store transactions become a mainstay for us or become part of the American fabric going forward in a post-COVID-19 era. So also, one other aspect to increased adoption that ought to be considered is a new solution that we've just brought to market, and that's digital issuance. And that allows credit union members to continue to transact digitally, no interruption whatsoever as they apply for a new card or even the point of natural reissuance upon expiration. They won't have to have a physical card and can still conduct all their transactions digitally, either right from a credit union's app or on their site.
That's a huge offering. I think that once people could get the idea that they could get digital issuance, I think that has a real benefit to a credit union that can offer that. Also, I wanted to talk about a little bit about what we're seeing with regard to contactless, because you make a great point. Contactless, we're seeing, I've seen some survey results that said that 30% of the people who have never used contactless before are using it now. And I think it would be wrong of us to think that that increase is those people are going to go away 100% from using contactless. Some will go back to their old ways of contact, but I think that contactless is going to be one of the, if you will, I hate to use this term, but if you will, winners coming out of the pandemic, is that people will realize or understand and use contactless because it's simpler, quicker, and provides a whole host of other benefits for them. So I'm that's one thing where I think we're going to see some changes. It will also be interesting to see how the use of ATMs by credit union customers changes, and whether that'll increase or decrease, and whether some of the functionality will change. Will people start to deposit more, pay bills more, do other activities on the ATM as they're necessarily, as their branches may not be open at convenient times for them?
Yeah, so a few things to talk about there, Pete. Remember a long, long, long time ago, you know, 2 years ago when NFC was the coolest thing since sliced bread? And then after that, chip technology presented itself in a prevalent way in the United States. And now here we sit talking about contactless. So while we didn't think that COVID-19 would necessarily spur on the activity, frankly, it's becoming the only way to interact in present day. So we absolutely expect this to survive and pick up in terms of increased usage. Now, having merchant acceptance and the ability for consumers to rely upon this technology as frequently as they would like, because they've become accustomed to it, is incumbent upon small business and large businesses alike to step up. And you will see that trend continue. You know, it's interesting you talk about ATM usage or depositing checks via mobile app. Remote deposit capture is not new, right? So RDC is a technology that many large institutions, credit unions, small banks have been adopting for years. But I wouldn't say it has had significant popularity. Well, guess what? It certainly does today. That is the only way to deposit checks unless you feel like getting in your car and going through the old-fashioned drive-through line and collecting a lollipop on your way out. So you spoke about those two. And then the last one is digital issuance. You know, interestingly, and I'm going to stereotype here for just a second, Americans are impatient. So digital issuance was meant as a bridge, or was meant to serve as a bridge technology to enable a new cardholder to have access to their information so that they could start to conduct digitally and not have to wait for a card to come in the mail. And naturally, that's a great move for the financial institution, in this case, a credit union, because of course they would want that member to begin to transact as quickly as possible. Well, guess what? Now consumers don't even care if that card arrives in the mail, right? So digital issuance was meant as a bridge technology. And now, because so many more Americans are forced to conduct digital transactions, the card is almost immaterial, at least for the next several months, until the economy rebounds and all of us can get away from our shelter-in-place mode that we're operating in. So I hope that wholly addresses your question.
No, I certainly think it does here. And now if we could, I'd like to kind of have our last question here. So Norm, I'm going to pose this one to you here. So there's been a lot of talk about the stimulus package in terms of when will people receive it. I've seen something saying, hey, within the next day or two, you're going to receive it, or up to 5 months away from receiving it. So what I'd like to get from your perspective is, you know, what advice can you give to credit unions on how they can best communicate this with their clients? And is there anything that credit unions can do to ensure that their clients receive it as soon as possible?
Yeah, I think the answer to that really goes back to some of the commentary I made before about leveraging communication channels, and, you know, primarily through the website. Again, I think a lot of credit unions have done a masterful job in putting together a COVID-19 support type of page or information type of page that provides a lot of great information. And I think this is really no different. Letting their members know when they can expect to receive the payments, whether it's going to be an electronic payment, or if you're going to receive a check, and all the options that they have available to use them. I think another opportunity, even for those who are not members of the credit union, there is going to be a segment of non-members in the community who may be within their field of membership who receive a physical check and may be underserved in financial services in general. And it might be a good opportunity for a credit union to promote the utility and the value of their checking account lineup to get those who do receive a physical check to come in or come through the drive-through or make an appointment to schedule some time to open up an account with the credit union, deposit that check, and become a member of mainstream financial services. So there could be some opportunities with that as well, in addition to information being king.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Norm, Glenn, and Pete, for taking the time today for diving into these consumer insights and talking about what credit unions can certainly do to help small businesses and consumers in this pandemic that we've got going on. And I hope to have all of you back on the podcast real soon.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Ryan.